I don't think we've met before, but I'm the referee on this field.
If you're working as an accountant and you lose your job, nobody really notices.
Leinster could offer me $5 million a year, I wouldn't go.
It is Tommy Lowe!
Rugby weekly.
Little reverse pass. Oh!
Oh! Magic!
Just like Peter O'Mahony throwing the most stunning try assist to Bundiaki, we're hoping this podcast is going to surprise and delight you. Hello and welcome to the 42 Rugby Weekly Extra. I'm Murray Kinsella. Hope everyone's having a great bank holiday weekend. As always, I'm joined by the main man, Owen Toolan, on the line from Japan, where you finally got out on the training pitch. Owen, how are you getting on?
Yeah, cheers, Murray. Yeah, all's well. First day back at training today, so it was like getting the training wheels back on. Obviously, haven't been out coaching on field for about a year. Obviously, everything in Melbourne's been in lockdown, so we couldn't even get down to the local club and do a few sessions. So the voice was starting to croak after about 15 minutes. So hopefully I get through the podcast okay. But yeah, brilliant to be back up and running with Kintetsu. And obviously, you know what it's like from Japan. People are so welcoming and friendly, and I'd be made feel right at home right from the get-go. So yeah, brilliant first day. And yeah, it's going to be a busy few months ahead.
Yeah, brilliant stuff. I was saying before we came on that it's obviously a year since the World Cup now. So every day on the journalists' WhatsApp threads, there's a lovely photo of us squeezed into a karaoke bar or at a baseball match or at one of the brilliant rugby games, obviously, we got the fortune to attend. So it's obviously a little bit different in the world now, but hopefully someday we'll be back over there with you in Japan, squeezed into a karaoke bar, having a bit of crack.
Maybe
for now, we're making do with watching.
You could do a pod live from a Kintetsu Liners game, maybe it'd be...
Yeah, I don't know how I'll get that one past Adrian, my boss, but I'll
we'll
try.
Work on it.
I'll try. We've got loads of rugby anyway to keep us occupied, and it's brilliant having Test rugby back, isn't it? There's just something different, obviously. Even the attention levels over here, they tune up a bit. Ireland getting a 50-17 win and the bonus point over Italy. Like, this fixture, Owen, is always a tricky one. If you don't hammer them, you get criticised. If you I think people are going to be unhappy however it works out, but what did you make of the performance in general, given that Ireland are coming back together after a very long break not playing together?
Yeah, I think that's the key point, isn't it, that they've been away from each other since March, and it was their first game back as a collective, and obviously having the couple of weeks lead in was beneficial to them. I know Johnny talked about a post game that obviously disappointing for Leinster and Ulster to get knocked out of Europe, but just gave them that extra week's prep leading into Italy. And I honestly thought it was a really impressive, not perfect, but impressive performance from Ireland, and showed a huge amount of defensive grit, which I think will really have pleased Andy Farrell and Simon Easterby. And it's unusual saying that when the team has scored 50 points, but I just thought a lot of energy came from the defence, and there just seemed to be a kind of real edge to obviously their line speed was oppressive, and the work over the ball, I'm sure we're going to touch on it throughout the podcast, but really, really high pressure over the ball, tackler reloading, first arriving player, being given a license to really go after the Italian breakdown. I thought they did a sensational job in that area, and that gave life to their attack. And again, the players talked about a post-game that obviously so unfortunate not having anyone out of Aviva, and they really kind of relied on themselves to kind of energize their performance, and I thought undoubtedly their defense really did that for them.
Yeah, that's really interesting, because right after the match we're talking to Andy Farrell, the press conferences they're done on Zoom even though you're in the stadium, it's all a bit strange, but he was obviously happy with it. He went straight to the defensive side of the game, and listen, that's his background, obviously he loves that side of the game, but as we kind of discussed, maybe they've been looking for that real edge in defense over the last couple of years, and despite all the tries, that's what he focused on, the energy, as you said. He highlighted that as well. What is it about this team? Because obviously the interpretations around the breakdown have changed, and the jackal is being rewarded. We've seen that trend all over the game. But it did look like Ireland had spent a lot of time discussing that trend, and the way he picked the pack probably suited that as well.
Yeah, I thought actually a really nice balance to the back row. I haven't seen a huge amount of Caelan Dyrus at six. And obviously Will Connor's making his debut at seven. I thought they just worked really well as a collective, as a three, and then Tadhg Byrne, we know all about his ability over the ball at provincial level. I thought he worked tirelessly and probably was unlucky not to get a little bit more reward from the referee. I thought there was a couple of times he's in good position without being rewarded. But yeah, Jackal was really good. Obviously, Rob Herring had an influence there as well, and great to see him to get a start at hooker. And I think it was a 1-8 really that everyone looked as if they had a license to go after the ball. It wasn't select players within the pack being given that license. And as you mentioned, Murray, it's undoubtedly down to the kind of, whether you say it's a new interpretation or kind of just rewarding the jackal player quicker. But Ireland definitely reaped the benefits of it. When you talk about the grit as well, I think obviously Kissy brought it in all those years back, but the choke tackle, I always think it's a really positive sign of an Irish mentality when they're ripping into ball carriers. And we saw it again with Tadhg Byrne, Rob Herring, second half, Robbie Henshaw. I think it's a really good kind of insight into the mentality of the team and a real kind of, I've said it a couple of times already, but I thought grit was a kind of the buzzword for the game defensively. And yeah, they looked right up for it, didn't they?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's what will satisfy the most. Even before the game, I remember asking Andy Farrell, what do you want people to immediately identify in this performance? And he said that defensive aggression and grit. So job done in that regard. What about the attack? So like they score 7 tries and they had some really nice fluid passages of attack, particularly on some of those turnovers. Like you think of the Tadhg Byrne one that produces the aforementioned Peter O'Mahony offload or pass, whatever it was. He dives into the space to draw that bit of contact. It's just a wondrous bit of skill. What did you make of the attacking performance in an overall sense? Did you see, I suppose, the journey of progression that Ireland are on? Or is this just always the case against Italy because they're the weaker opposition in the comp?
No, I definitely saw a variety to their attack, which I think is really pleasing, that there was an unpredictability to what they did. And you've already mentioned transition. I think when you look at it, 3 of their tries came from transition, whether it's through turnover or kick. Obviously, wind back to the Caelan Doris kind of sensational jackal. Gets reefed, gets back on the ball, and then has the composure to make the pass. And then it's a world-class kick from Conor Murray, I have to say. To have the composure, he obviously looks to first go right and then gets a call from Johnny to come back to the left. And it's really indicative of all the Irish backs in terms of their scanning patterns, looking downfield. Sexton's automatically looked forward and saw the kick space, and that's what he's directing Conor Murray to. But to have the ability off the on the wrong side for a right footed kicker to kick it off out on the outside of his boot and wait it to perfection to Hugo Keenan, I thought was a really impressive bit of skill. But the also, I think the exciting thing from an Ireland perspective is the numbers that we're getting to Conor Murray in support. If you watch back, just have a look at Andrew Conway on the right wing, where he comes from to try and get to that inside support. And then you've obviously got Sexton, Keenan, I think Bundiaki is part of that initial break. Just numbers to the ball, which is a really positive sign from a mentality perspective around Ireland. And I thought that was a world-class try and really, really good shapes again, I think, in the lead-up to the Bundiaki try. That starts from a kick return. Jacob Stockdale, who had some really good moments in the game, I thought, takes a really good high ball, lands square, which gives him the ability to go forward, and does really well to offload to Ed Byrne in support. It was a good line from him. But then if you just watch the next couple of sequences, Stockdale's carried on the left edge, offloaded. He gets off the ground, works to the open side. That second phase, Sexton plays a kind of shape off 10. Who's out the back? It's Hugo Keenan, the left wing, who carries. And then Stockdale's involved in the next carry around the corner. So that's guys working out of position, but working really hard to get into position that we might not have seen from Irish backs in the past. And then a couple of phases later, they swing back to the left. And again, it's a brilliant link pass from Caelan Doris, real early catch, a fluid pass out the back. And then it gets to Robbie Henshaw, offload. And then an offload to Hugo Keenan, as well. And then CJ Stander makes that lovely line break off the left. And then to wrap it off, like again, world-class moment from Conor Murray to step out and play a 15-meter bullet pass across David Heffernan, who's shown his hands to sit a few Italian defenders down, goes across his chest to Doris. Brilliant run. And then again, Murray finds the right man in Sexton. I think it's probably one of the best tries I've seen Ireland score in quite a while, if I'm honest with you, from a multi-phase attack perspective. And I thought there was a huge amount to like about it.
Yeah, there's so much in that, and it was a joy to watch. And you can sense that energy that a slight shift in mindset can create with that work off the ball that you talk about. And that's something you've been really big on over a long period of time with this, even with Ireland working off the ball to create those counter-attacking opportunities. And they did seem to come out of the back of maybe a couple of kick exchanges with that intent. And I think Stockdale, as part of that back three, probably brings that intent. What did you make of the composition of that back three? Because it was a big talking point beforehand.
Yeah, I really liked the variation to what they were doing. And we've talked about the benefit of having a left footer at 15. Obviously, Rob Kearney, for years, it was probably a little bit taken for granted, the options it gives you from an exit perspective. And you wrote a great article about it this morning, Murray, just the variation it gives them. And Ireland making use of the profile of the right and left footers to become a more unpredictable proposition to opposition backfields. And that really disrupts opposition planning for their kick plan. If all of a sudden off a restart, they can go open to the right to Johnny, where there's a run option as well, which Ireland displayed in the second half, or does that long kick option, or to go back to Stockdale in the left pocket, who can take 60, 65 meters off a kick without much difficulty. I think that variation is really nice. We saw some nice, we've talked about that counter from Stockdale that led to the try. He tried a couple of chips, one in the first half that didn't quite come off for him. But again, that creates different dilemmas for when teams are planning to kick against you. So I thought that was really nice variation. Hugo Keenan from what I understand, he's equally as comfortable at 15, and he has a nice kicking game. His work rate off the ball was really good. And when we talk about this kind of fluidity, Murray, that what we've talked about a bit, haven't we, is having multiple playmakers, a first receiver. And again, in the second half, I thought it was a really, really good sign. Johnny actually makes a nice break down the left-hand side and makes probably about 10 metres on the carry. And then when it breaks open to the right two phases later, it's Hugo Keenan, that first receiver, on the right edge. Don't forget, he's the left winger. He's got Tyke Byrne coming on the short ball. And then I think it's Jacob Stockdale out the back. And I just think that is exactly what Ireland need, is a multiple first receivers, unpredictability about who's going to be in what position across the back line. I thought, again, that's a really exciting sign from an Irish attacking perspective.
Yeah, absolutely. Again, something that we've talked about is not being as reliant on Sexton to have those moments of creativity, I guess. Even for the Keenan, his first try, it's a close-range maul. They go in field with it. Sexton goes back into the short side. It's really nice to see Bundiaki and Henshaw back in their passing ability there. Aki's nice and flat. He pulls a little bit deeper to Henshaw, who makes a really good decision to go to Keenan on that long pass over the top. Keenan, lovely finish as well, but I thought it was really encouraging to see the centres taking that responsibility. And there were other moments as well. You saw them a couple of times getting in at first receiver or being the decision maker in behind that second pod of two players after the three pod is carried. Like those shapes have always been there, but maybe not with the I suppose the decision making of the player outside Sexton, and even getting him to second receiver is a really positive thing at times. I think we saw it maybe once in the Wales game earlier on this year where Aki plays to him and he uses his kicking game from a little bit wider out. That kind of unpredictability, which I actually thought France, who we're going to come and talk about, I thought they did it quite well in their Wales game, with the centre stepping up and Entomac getting a bit of time in the ball. So that is really positive, and hopefully that's the progression, because like with Italy games in the past, we've seen really nice things and seen different exit strategies and seen guys stepping up, but then you come against the very best defences, and Sean Edwards obviously is going to put a lot more pressure on them with that French defence. The kicking game, so, is going to be key, and you've mentioned a few examples of it. 26 kicks, I think, in play in total, which was a big improvement, I suppose, or big growth on 17 against England in Twickenham. Did you feel they varied it up better with that kicking game?
Yeah, probably in the face of some defensive line speed as well. If you kind of rewind back to the game in Twickenham, where when they were kind of the victim of that line speed, that they were slow to to kind of change the plan, and we're almost going through with what the prescribed plan was. And there's a couple of times at the weekend where when Johnny gets the ball, he's obviously he's looked up and seen that kind of outside pressure coming at him, and has played the kick and accessed kick space. And we know during lockdown, when we saw Leinster coming back from the lockdown, their variety to their kicking game, and a huge amount of it is just those scanning patterns, and all seven backs being alive to that kick space and being able to make those calls to Johnny. And there's a great example in the second half on the right edge. Again, it's just a lovely spiral. It's almost Ronan O'Gara-esque, just to that right corner, one bouncing into touch. And as you said, it's variation that unlocks defences. And whether it's crossfield kick, there was one at the start of the second half I thought Andrew Conway might have latched onto from a Johnny Sexton kick pass, or whether it's those little grubbers, high contestable kicks, go to the box kick a couple of times. They've got such amount of kicking talent in their back line. If you think probably five of their seven backs are high quality kickers, and they've got to exploit that that part of their game. And I think the more they do it, the more they've scored 50 points and they've kicked the ball 26 times. And that just goes to show you that it's a weapon that you have to have in your armory. And I thought, speaking of Johnny, I thought he had a really balanced game. I think he had 15 passes, 16 carries. 15 passes, 16 kicks, and a couple of carries. And he was 5 from 6 off the tee as well. So a really well-rounded display from the captain. It was great to see.
Yeah, I think Andy Farrell will be really pleased with his half-backs. As we mentioned probably before the game, you want to get the, even though it's a really well-worn combination, get them back up and run together. And you've picked out some of Murray's really excellent moments there. Obviously, he got Sinmin early on in the game when there was that rare defensive slip. Obviously, a defensive slip right at the end as well, which frustrated them. But in between, Murray was really excellent. The usual physicality in defence, and as you say, Sexton really good outside him. So that bodes well. Thought the set piece looked better than it had been earlier on in this year, and they got the benefits of that in terms of setting a few nice platforms. But I did want to ask you about a couple of individuals. We mentioned some of them. And Keenan definitely deserves all the praise that's coming his way. I hope at some stage someone does a player cam. I know they're doing it over in New Zealand now. They have one player per game, but I think Keenan would be absolutely brilliant to have that camera tuned on, just to see how much he works off the ball. His GPS numbers apparently are just ridiculous all the time. What of Will Connors then, the other debutant, and he wins man of the match. What did you make of his performance? What do you think he brought? And also then, looking to France, do you feel he's well suited to that?
Oh, ultra impressive, wasn't he? He's just a tackling machine. I know you text me about our best practice database, and his low chop to reload is best in class at the moment, isn't it? He just it's his willingness to get off the line. I think from a defender's perspective, your biggest vulnerability is the footwork of an attacker, and his willingness to take space just shuts down all options for an attacker. His timing is so good, and his mentality is clearly world class. I was unbelievably impressed by him. I thought he kind of epitomized the Irish performance defensively. Just an absolute energizer bunny with 19 tackles, no misses, and a couple of turnovers. And he wasn't bad with the ball either. I think he's going to be a really well-rounded seven. And to be man of match is just on debut is a great achievement for him. And we might touch on the depth ranks at number seven in Irish rugby, but with a certain Dan Levy coming back into the fold as well. It's not even just Irish rugby, it's Leinster rugby. I don't know how they're going to keep Connors, Van der Flyer and Dan Levy happy for the next 12 months. It's frightening, isn't it?
Yeah, fantastic stuff from Connors. And it was such joy, I think, in the whole squad. Even they probably got energy off those guys getting their first caps, Gibson Park coming on, and lovely first touch in Test Roby. He had that little dinked box kick over the 22 for Johnny Sexton to reclaim. Ed Byrne had some good moments. He'll be disappointed with that last try, obviously. Just in terms of the selection and looking forward, Gary Ringrose is losing him is a big blow. He's an influential player. He broke his jaw trying to block down a kick, and Henshaw did well off the bench, obviously. Keith Earls seems to be potentially back in the mix. John Cooney's come into the squad, actually, because Gibson Park has a bit of hamstring tightness. do you see Farrell making many changes, or is he going to go for something really settled after that good performance?
Yeah, I think it would be difficult to make too many changes, wouldn't it? I'm not sure there's too many players that put much of a foot wrong, and I think you got to reward a performance like that when you put 50 points on in a test match. I think it would be foolhardy to make a whole host of changes. I think it's you could see maybe a Keith Earls coming, obviously the position vacated by Robbie Henshaw in the subs. If Robbie is to start, Keith Earls is probably an ideal replacement, isn't it? Just his flexibility, whether it's at centre or in the back three, and he's probably the one change you could see happening. And if Gibson Park is in, I think Cooney would be really excited and keen to get back into the squad, wouldn't he, after being originally omitted. And he's returned to form at Ulster as well, so he'd probably be an exciting player to come off the bench. But yeah, other than the Ringrose injury, I don't see too many changes. How about you, Murray? Do you think there would be much manoeuvring within the next week?
No, I think, listen, on Thursday, previewing this game, we'd kind of settle on the fact that Farrell's obviously going to go for that continuity in these two games, trying to win the Six Nations, obviously, and then use that Autumn Nations Cup to mix things up. I totally agree with you. Like, I struggle to see anyone who had a bad game or didn't perform, and you want to bring that bounce they have in the squad now over to Paris with you. Listen, it's going to be a really, really difficult task. A bonus point guarantees them the championship. They can win with just a regular win, but England will kind of back themselves to get a bit of a score up against Italy and Rome. Albeit, I think Eddie Jones will be really worried that Barbarians match was called off and they didn't have the chance to shake off a few cobwebs. In terms of France, let's look at them and maybe preview the match through the prism of their, 38-21 win over Wales in Paris. They scored 5 tries and there was some stunning moments of attack. What did you sense of their performance in a general way?
Oh, so I think two words, Anton Dupont. He's he is a joy to watch, isn't he? He's just a French playmaking nine, and I think most good things that happen revolve around him. And again, in our little best practice database, Murray, just watch his support lines for his 2 tries, and he's just, his sense of the game and his speed is exceptional. And obviously I think Anton Dupont and Roman Entomac have come through the underage ranks together, and obviously club and international halfback partners for, you would see, the foreseeable future. And Roman Entomac is starting to look like a real international 10, and as you said, he moved one wider a couple of times for France and at second playmaker, and I thought he looked really dangerous too. And a really top class Teddy Thomas chip and score to finish off.
So good,
wasn't it? I was actually doing a little bit of work with the Japanese back three on that skill today, and they definitely weren't executing like Teddy Thomas was. But Teddy Thomas. But France looked dangerous. They're obviously building a relatively young side with the France 2023 World Cup in mind, and I think the amount of exposure they gave those guys at the World Cup last year is starting to show some benefit. And yeah, Wales got off to a really good start. I love that they played a lovely little shape, actually, early doors. I hadn't seen that before, where it's a kind of 2-man front pod with bigger out the back, and it's in that typical link position, but bigger swings from the link player to coming outside the second forward in that 2-man shape, and the first forward just plays a flat pass to bigger, which causes line break. I thought that was a nice little multi-phase shape that I haven't seen before. But France were just too strong in the end, weren't they?
Yeah, kudos to Stephen Jones for that. It was a lovely little play. I'm sure we'll see a few more teams picking that one and using it. I felt the Welsh were disappointing after that. Bigger seemed to be injured. I mean, we saw him go down and he looked to be in quite a bit of pain and just played on. I think they were worried about Reece Patchett. Obviously, he was just back. And then Bigger misses those 2 penalties in the second half. Would have brought them back to, 24-22, and it would have been a tighter contest. Obviously, the French attacking ability and how they just click, and it felt like if they needed anything more, even I say that, it felt like if they needed another one, And they did obviously finish over the top with Thomas scoring that beautiful try. They just have an ability to turn on and use their power and their running lines, but also a bit of depth to their attack. Like, it seems that side of it has developed quite a bit under Galtier and Laurent Labitte, who runs the attack. So it's not just, I mean, it's easy to go off French flair, but it's a bit more than that, Owen, isn't it?
Yeah, and a lovely centre partnership as well. Like, Gael Ficou has been one of those kind of enigmas of French rugby, really, really talented, but he seems to have nailed down that centre position and is forming a nice partnership with Bakatawa as well, who's been so lethal for Racing. So they're building some nice combinations there and a kind of consistency of selection, which I think will serve France going forward. And Gregory Aldrit was super impressive at the start of the Six Nations, wasn't he? And he was their leading ball carrier with 17 ball carries. And that, again, a young player that looks like he'll be in that eight slot for the foreseeable future. So, yeah, a nicely balanced team. And you said look really well coached. So, yeah, for Ireland to beat them just with 4 points, I think would be a huge achievement for the team next week.
Yeah, because they can really play both ways. When they go direct, it is quite awesome, the power of the big forwards they have: Cyril Boye, Marchand, Camille Chat off the bench. Willems is obviously a huge unit. Olivon and Aldrit, when they get around the corner, either off 9 and 10, and I thought they varied that nicely, France, actually, they're just very hard to stop. I think Connors, in that sense, he makes pure sense for this game, because there's a guy who just saps attacking momentum from teams and stops those big ball-carrying threats. Obviously, there's more to him. We saw a lovely tip on pass and some of his footwork as well. And he has that side and wants to develop that side of his game. But that defensive strength is key against those big guys. Fakatawa, obviously, as you say, he's so good at picking lines, timing his run. I thought the inside pass to Dupont, it was kind of blind. You almost don't think he's going to throw it. And I think Josh Adams, who's covering across in the backfield, kind of relaxes for a split second because it doesn't look like that pass is going to go. It was a brilliant bit of skill. Did you see any glimpses of, I mean, of weaknesses? They conceded 17 penalties. It was crazy that they won with such a big score, considering that. And some high ball potentially stuff where Boutier and then Ramo didn't look too convincing under it. Do you think Ireland will be able to pick out bits in those aspects, and also defence, which you've written about before, is a big thing for them under Edwards? What do Ireland need to do well with that?
Yeah, absolutely. And trying to, that's probably the one area where you'd just like to see Conor Murray threatening the 2-3 defenders a little bit more, and trying to get that fourth defender to keep coming forward to cause those little disconnections and playing those late kind of hip passes. I think that's an area where they could take advantage of Edwards' defensive system, and obviously trying to access kick space, which will be afforded to them. And as we said, it's been good to see that kick variety from Ireland, which I think will be a big part of their plan going up against France. And yeah, obviously you've talked about Biggar's misses off the tee, and when the international rugby teams really shouldn't be winning with a 17 penalty count. So I would hope Ireland would be a little bit more efficient in exploiting those opportunities. And I think that's probably the other little thing that we've probably got to keep in mind with Connors potentially, is obviously teams are going to scout him now, that low chop ability. And when you look at a couple of Italy's line breaks, that one hit early on that led to Conor Murray's Simbini, it's just a little bit of disconnection in the line speed. And I think it was CJ just man watching rather than having an idea where the ball is. And with those low choppers, you know France are going to plan to if Connors comes low, that they're going to have those little inside and outside offloads. So the connection either side of Connors is going to be really important.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's so many fascinating, I suppose, tactical elements like that. And it's brilliant that France are at this level again, and it's turned around, and they're in contention as well for the title as well, we shouldn't forget. So they're going to have their own ideas about how this one's going to go. It's going to be fascinating. They're going to be missing, it looks like, Bernard Leroux. He's been cited for dropping an elbow onto Alan Wynne-Jones. That hearing is tomorrow, so interesting to see what comes of that. But yeah, fascinating battle in store. What's your early sense early in the week, Owen? Do you think Ireland are going to get over the line?
I think Ireland will definitely go there and play well. And I think if they can I hate to say go to France and don't make it become too open, because that just sounds like something from the dark old ages. But they've just got to pressure France in the right areas of the field and not allow them get into flow and have a defensive plan for Antoine Dupont. You really got to disrupt his flow. As I've said, so much of the attacking fluidity and those second touches come from Antoine Dupont. So I've no doubt there'll be a defensive plan in how they're going to manage him and put him off his game, whether it's kind of those tackles just as he's passing the ball or just post pass, just to get him to be working off the ground a little bit more. I think would probably be a part of their plan. And yeah, I'd be confident that they could go there and get a result. And I'm also not that confident that England are going to be able to just rock up to Rome and get 5 points. I know Italy were poor, but they will definitely be better for the hit out, you would think, which is something that Ferg McFadden and the lads have denied England. So whether that was by design or not, who knows? But I think Eddie Jones will be fuming that England haven't had a kind of a warm up game prior to the Test match against Italy. So I'm not convinced that it's going to take 5 points from Ireland to win the championship.
Yeah, we'll find out that Andy Farrell put a tab on in that bar in London maybe at some stage. Yeah, that's maybe one to discuss at another stage. Can't wait for this weekend. Super Saturday. It's just brilliant to have it, albeit a bit later, but it's going to be a lot of fun. Just to glance forward a little bit, we're going to have the Autumn Nations Cup starting in November, and Georgia are one of the teams Ireland are going to face. They played Scotland over the weekend and lost 48-7. Scotland getting 8 tries, Finn Russell's return. Just briefly on Georgia, David Humphreys and Neil Doak have taken over that project. Like, Georgia been in a mess. There's people getting shot at the Union and obviously a real upheaval there. But did you see, or can you see any prospect of them being competitive in this comp?
Oh, I think it's going to be difficult for them, if I'm honest. I thought they obviously not ideal preparation going into the game with as you said, kind of a new coaching staff coming on board. And they got off to a horrible start, and I think their first three sequences was a knock-on off the kickoff, conceded a try, then kicked it out on the full from the restart, and then their first scrum was a scrum penalty against them, followed by a kick out on the full. And you just go, wow, at international rugby, especially the scrum pen, when you think that has historically been an area of strength for Georgia. And you're willing them to do well. There's obviously been a lot of chat about rewarding their kind of last 10, 12 years on the international scene, that they deserve a seat at the Six Nations table. And given how long it's been since an Italian win in the Six Nations, you could probably justify it. But they were exceptionally poor. I thought they looked like a club side against Scotland, who I have to say looked sharp. I thought their structured sequences, which is kind of typical of Gregor Townsend, they looked really, really good off structured possession, and they looked, especially in that first 40, as if they could score tries at will. I thought there was good signs from their attack.
Yeah, definitely really good to see. What about Russell? He gets 26 minutes, I think, off the bench, and he's back in the fold after the breakup, and this is going again. What did you make of his impact?
Yeah, actually, I thought him moving Hastings to 12 was interesting. It probably doesn't give them a huge amount of defensive solidity, but I thought they linked really well, and obviously that wide attacking game that Townsend likes suits a 10-12 axis of Russell and Hastings. And I thought there was some really good signs in the build-up to the Van der Merwe try, who I thought was sharp on debut. Very, very similar to what we've been talking about with racing. Russell likes to have that blindside winger on his inside. It does one of two things. It keeps Russell square at the line by having that inside pass. Probably diminishes the line speed, especially of the 2-3 defenders, if there is an inside attacking threat. And Russell, then he either has an inside pass option or he can show go himself. So that's a common theme for Finn Russell. And he plays Van der Merwe on the inside really well. That led to a try. And yeah, I thought he had a decent cameo. And again, intriguing to watch, isn't he? I think he's unpredictable, and people enjoy kind of watching that attacking flair. And I think he'd be happy with his 20 minutes. I think it's probably big of Gregor Townsend, is obviously being a falling out there, and for him to accept him back into the fold, I'm not so sure every head coach would have done it.
Yeah, great to see. We want to see more of Finn Russell, whatever the level, and it's brilliant. They're playing Wales obviously this weekend as well, so another really good test match to look forward to. There was another good result for an Irish team against Italy in Dublin over the weekend. Ireland women winning 21-7, so they wrap up the three home wins they targeted in this Six Nations this year. Obviously England and France were the scheduled fixtures away and really tough ones, but to be beating the three other teams at home is positive considering where Ireland had come from, and the performance levels and individual performances have been massively improved. They're going to finish up actually at home to France now, because France have been really really sound in actually saying they'll come over to Dublin and play this fixture. There was issues with the Irish players going over and then having to obviously isolate when they get back and having jobs, etc. So, I mean, this is pretty cool. I want to see a union being this, they're talking about solidarity and the spirit of rugby. This is brilliant to see.
Yeah, I think a great achievement by the Irish women. I'm not across the detail over there whether they would have been playing any type of rugby in the build-up to the test match. But to come out and come away with a win, I think is a great reflection of kind of their team morale and the coach as well, to be able to deliver a performance like that is great to see. And yeah, fair play to France for making sure the game goes ahead. I think at this point in time, I think everyone understands how important sport is to the kind of the social sanity of people during lockdown. I know it was the same back in Australia, that they were the things everyone looked forward to was the sport that came on during a Saturday or Sunday or afternoon or during the week. I think it's happening over there, isn't it? Pro rugby on a Monday night, and yeah. It was similar with the NRL and Super Rugby AU having kind of games during the week, which just made the weeks go quicker. So I think it's a great initiative.
Yeah, rugby the every day of the week. We won't complain. But yeah, good stuff from Ireland women, and good to see the youngsters again impressing. The likes of Bavin Parsons, Dorothy Wall, really good in her first start. Enya Breen as well back in midfield. But I mean, it was all really about the return of Claire Malloy, the most experienced member of the squad. I'm just going to run through the numbers. I tweeted this out and it's got a good reaction, understandably. She was back after her sabbatical year away from Test rugby, and was player of the match. She had 31 tackles completed, 2 breakdown steals, 16 Italy rucks contested, 21 Ireland breakdowns hit, 10 carries, 4 defenders beaten, 52 meters run, 1 try and 3 lineout catches. And listen, oh no, numbers don't always tell us the real story, but that is just phenomenal stuff and underlined the impression she made. A brilliant rugby player.
That's a sensational achievement, isn't it? And from, as you said, a year away from the game, wow, what a great player to have back for Irish rugby. And yeah, I think you wouldn't see that kind of rounded performance from a data perspective too often from an individual, so absolutely sensational. Fair play.
Yeah, brilliant stuff. Just to wrap briefly on the provinces, that rugby was ongoing, and it is good that the fixtures have been, I suppose, scheduled in a manner that it doesn't clash with the international rugby. It's good to see Munster on tonight against Cardiff, but the story of the weekend really owned was Connacht going away to Edinburgh, 37-26 win, 5 tries. Some brilliant attacking kicking from the likes of Conor Fitzgerald and Caelan Blade, who was brilliant. We had Alex Wooten in really good form again. And Tom Daly, the centre, stepping up and place kicking, controlling when they needed him. They're in a really good mindset, it looks like. Andy Friend in charge and Nigel Carrollin running the attack. Like, you've seen a bit of them early this season, and they look like a side who are extremely confident in their attacking ability.
Yeah, especially off those structured possessions. I was really impressed with it was a couple of 5-man plays, wasn't it, in the Pro 14 that were inventive. And I've only heard good things about Nigel Carrollin as an attack coach, and obviously Andy Friend has a huge amount of experience over this side of the world. And yeah, they seem to be doing a really good job. That's a great away win in Edinburgh. Richard Cockrell's obviously done a really good job with that Edinburgh team to do so well with them last year in the Pro 14. I know they would have been disappointed with that semi-final loss, but yeah, that's no mean feat for Connacht to go over there. And I think I was reading that their second row stocks are down to the bare bones as well. So yeah, to put on 36 points, and yeah, as you said, their attacking kicking game looks really on point. Obviously Cardy provides him a, I know he wasn't playing, but provides him a huge amount of variety there. And Keelan Blade as well, he seems to be really exciting running nine with that kick ability. So if he's another Anton DuPont on the scene, then let's get him into the Irish squad.
Yeah, I think Connacht are going to be the most fun to watch this season. And it's just brilliant to see players back in their skill sets in that manner. Everyone looks really confident, as I said, and long may that continue. Ulster had a bonus point win at home to the Dragons, 40-17. Really brilliant first half where they were ultra clinical and racked up the bonus point in about 30 minutes. Thereafter, they'll be a bit frustrated, but like that's how it happens. You have your purple patch. Good to see Sean Reedy there. I suppose a stalwart for Ulster. He got man of the match and was really good in the back row. So lots of positives there in the first half, albeit the second half is best forgotten. And then we had Leinster on Friday night in the RDS hammering the Dragons, who were really poor. But the big story, I suppose, was Dan Levy, as you mentioned, Owen. He was back after over 18 months on the sidelines after that horror knee injury. Nearly finished with a try. I just felt the TMO should have just given it anyway, just to complete the story. But it is a remarkable recovery from a serious injury, and a guy who, if he can get towards what he was like beforehand, is a world-class player.
Yeah, and I think an interesting insight into his mentality is not wearing any strapping on the knee. I think that's a really interesting insight into the character of the guy, because that's always seen as a little bit of a mental crutch for players to wear that strapping. And after such a significant injury, to just go out and, I think I watched that interview, he said his knee feels stronger than it's ever felt. And that's a huge amount of work from Dan himself, but obviously from the support staff, physio, strength and conditioning. The club have obviously taken their time. There's a few kind of false dawns of when he was going to come back and perform, and it's probably the regard he's held in that they were definitely not going to rush him back into starting. And it's just so great to see, isn't it, someone overcoming adversity. And if he can get back to his pre-injury form, I think it's going to be so difficult for Leinster to to pick their back row, isn't it? But you think he's got to fit somewhere in there. And great to see him come back and play. And as you're talking about Ulster, I'm going to call it early. I kind of fancy them to potentially win the Pro 14 this year. I think they've got an ideal Pro 14 team that you'd think aren't going to miss a huge amount of their top line players during the international windows. But they've also got quite a lot of really, really good experience between Kutsia, you mentioned Sean Reedy, and I just like their profile of team, that if they get their confidence up and get their game flowing. Obviously another year there for Dwayne Peel and Dan McFarland, and I kind of fancy them to maybe take out the Pro 14 or push Leinster a lot closer than they've been pushed in the last couple of seasons.
Yeah, really interesting shout. I'll note that one down and we'll come back to it. But I think Ulster fans will like to hear that. And it's brilliant to see loads of the younger talent coming through as well. Even in Leinster, Dan Sheehan got his debut. He's 22 now. He's had to wait patiently, but he's a 6'3" hooker. He looks over 110 kg to me. Really powerful athlete. Got he obviously scored his pair of tries and assisted one as well with a lovely inside pass to Dave Kearney. So looks like another good talent on that Leinster conveyor belt. And also some of the more established guys, like great to see Reese Ruddock back. In really dynamic form. He looks fit. I don't know if he's maybe lost a couple of kegs or what, but he looks really dynamic and just super motivated around the pitch. He still has plenty to offer. Like a guy you know, and like everyone knows him, is his quality at the top level, has loads to offer.
Yeah, I'm burst onto seeing really young. I remember we were in Australia in 2010. Pretty sure it was 2010 or 2012, one of those 2 years, and he was the captain at the Junior World Cup. I think he was over in Argentina, and he got called in last minute for one of the test matches, and everyone was impressed with him back then, just his kind of maturity, his leadership qualities, and had a huge amount of ability. I think potentially the lockdown might have been really good for Reese. I know his over the years his body has struggled with little niggling injuries, and that's probably a byproduct of playing professional rugby from the age of 19. And he's just such a good character, as I said, great leader, great person, and a hell of a rugby player. And if he can get his body right, and it's great to hear that it looks like he's in really good shape. I think he's another great addition to Leinster, and obviously has been at the club for such a long time. I think Leinster place a lot of value on those guys that have been in the environment for a long time, and he's an ideal guy to bring those younger guys that you've mentioned along with him and kind of show the characteristics and values that probably Leinster stand for.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Munster go tonight. They're sending out five of their West Cork crew against Cardiff Blues. That's at 8:15 p.m. and it's on Air Sport and TG Car. So it'll be interesting to see what people make of Monday Night Rugby. It's nice to have another game to look forward to. But listen, that's it for today. Owen, thanks a million. As always, brilliant analysis.
Cheers, Murray. And looking forward to Super Saturday. It might be very into the early hours of the night in Japan, but I'll set the alarm.
Absolutely, it's going to be brilliant. Thanks also to you, our members, for tuning in. We're going to be back on Thursday with the regular podcast, so we'll chat to you then. Cheers.